Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad. I've got Sam and Lee in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. I'm a little out of sorts today, though, I have to tell you. It is December 1st, the first day of December. It's also my daughter's 16th birthday.
That's dramatic, right?
Yeah, one of those things I never thought would arrive, but now it's here.
And it doesn't feel good, does it?
It kind of scares me.
Yeah, that's right.
16, you're entering the danger zone.
In more ways than one.
Any car issues? She wants a license right away?
Well, she does, yeah. December 8th is her date. Now, when I was a kid, I just went to the DMV and you stood in line, you took
your
test.
That's not how it is?
No, you got to make an appointment now.
An appointment. Do you have to have any training? Do they make you like go to any driver's ed classes or anything?
Yeah. The whole ball of wax, driving and
tests. Did you do it? You trained her?
Yeah. In fact, not only did I train her, I trained her on a manual transmission vehicle.
Oh, nice. That makes it hard. You increase the difficulty.
It was interesting. Interestingly enough, in a day of automatic transmission, both my driving kids learned on a manual transmission.
Wow.
It's kind of strange.
So there was no weird father kid, you know, yelling at each other, making a million mistakes? Nothing?
No. It was actually good. They were quick studies.
Wow, I don't think I could do that with my kid. I couldn't even teach my kid how to ride his bike. I was too obnoxious of a parent.
You have to know how to ride one in the first place.
That's probably what the problem was.
You know, I love sitting over here in silence because I don't catch any of that if I just sit here and keep my mouth closed. Let's move on. Kevin, are you with us in Texas?
We sure are. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Joining us in Texas is Kevin Ritz and Greg Rogers. How are you, Greg?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take it away, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Greg, thanks for joining us. Greg is the Chief Executive Officer of Integra Hospital in Plano, and we really appreciate you taking the time to spend with us this morning, Greg.
You bet. This is a great opportunity.
Greg, why don't you start off just by telling us a little bit about your background, where you went to school, how you ended up, where you're at now.
You bet. I think I'll probably take a very different course to get into a hospital administration position. I actually graduated in 1993 from Baylor University. I had a management degree and a computer minor, and stayed and got my MBA in marketing, and did not jump right into the hospital world immediately. Actually, I went to work for Eli Lilly and Company in pharmaceuticals and was there for 12 years in sales and marketing, brand management, and but I think the thing that kind of progressed me from out of Eli Lilly over to where I am now is the fact that I was working in neuroscience for about 9 years. And following a brief stint at a pharmacy chain after Eli Lilly, I actually went to work for a rehab hospital and eventually ended up here as the CEO at Integra.
All right. Yeah, that is a unique path. I know I've followed a similar one, and that's, you know, not increasingly less common now. Greg, I met you at a networking meeting at Integra Hospital where you're the CEO, and why don't you talk with us a little bit about what Integra offers and kind of what differentiates you from some of the other rehabs. You had some very interesting things to say at that meeting, and it really kind of sparked my interest.
You bet. Yeah, and this is why I think this is such a great opportunity for us, because I think most people historically have thought of rehab as all being the same. They basically, one was newer, another was older. This one's 5 minutes from where I live, and the other's 15, and that's basically all that went into a decision process. We actually, though, have launched a new model. We think it's the next generation as far as rehabilitation goes. There's a few of us that are running it across the nation, but it's basically called the Neuro Rehab and Recovery Model. And unlike, I guess, the other two models that have been available, the skilled nursing and rehabilitation, and then also your traditional inpatient rehabilitation model, This model starts with a completely different patient type and then builds its staffing matrix and everything else off of that particular patient type. So what makes it different? Well, instead of starting with an orthopedic case, our model starts actually with a stroke or a brain injury. And as a result of that, obviously you can't do as much group therapy with brain injuries and strokes as you do maybe with someone who has a hip fracture or a joint replacement. So we lean much more heavily towards individualized therapy. About 80% of our therapy is done one-on-one, with about 20% being done in group. And I think in the traditional models, they're usually around 50 to 60% individual, with the other 40 to 50% being in group therapy. I think what that allows to happen is for someone who has cognitive issues in particular to be able to end up getting a lot more care that's really centralized to what exactly they're dealing with, so which we think makes better outcomes.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges you have in launching a new model like that? It sounds like it's definitely a diversion away from the traditional model. So what are some of the challenges you've seen kind of launching that?
Well, I think for us in particular, we're not a part of a large system, and so it's not like there's a lot of dollars to put out there from the standpoint of marketing and getting the word out. And then we also are in a market that's really glutted with a lot of rehabilitation centers, whether it's of the skilled nursing variety or in traditional inpatient rehab. So you've just got a difficulty from a share of voice standpoint.
Yeah. At that meeting where I met you, you mentioned something about a military program that you're involved with. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, actually, that's one of the things that we're moving towards hopefully very quickly. In fact, I'm hopeful that we're going to be meeting with some folks associated with the Wounded Warrior Project as well as the USO next week. Coming in to speak with us, and hopefully that will come together into something very formal. But the fact of the matter is, I think they're looking at our model and saying, hey, this model offers more perhaps for patients that have suffered a catastrophic injury than perhaps some of the other models that have been there. I think one point that goes into it other than the staffing matrix that's involved is the fact that you have three different levels of care all under one roof. You have a skilled nursing level of care. We actually call our step-up rehabilitation unit, and which licensed as a skilled unit, where folks are actually worked with when they're not really physically ready to do 3 hours of therapy, so they can't go to an inpatient rehab level of care. Take them from that skilled nursing level or the step-up unit to an inpatient rehab level of care, and then on to a third level of care, which we call our functional independence recovery unit. Essentially, there have been acquired brain injury programs across the nation that really work with individuals needing more cognitive therapy post being in an inpatient setting. And so having all three of those levels really fits nicely with what some of our wounded warriors are dealing with overseas.
Yeah, well, that's great, especially for those that come back and need that to get back to where they were before. From the functional, what was the term you used?
The functional independence recovery. We call it the fire-up unit.
Okay. So I assume that means that's where they go right before they are to go home. It gets them back up to speed. What are some of the things that are involved with that level of therapy?
You bet. The fact that whereas traditional inpatient rehab is based on 3 hours of therapy, this next level of care is actually based on 4 to 6 hours of therapy. And you would have your traditional PT, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, but you also throw in cognitive therapy as well as community integration.
Okay.
So trying to take it away from just being in a gym-based setting, but actually moving them towards what they deal with both at work and at home. So sometimes that might be involved, you might be involved with going to someone's home and actually seeing what they deal with there and actually getting them to work and actually do their therapy there.
Oh, that's great.
And bringing it back to our setting as well and practicing it on an ongoing basis.
That's fantastic, and especially from our standpoint, if we have clients that go into a rehab, it's great to know there's an opportunity out there for somebody to go and get reassimilated back into the lifestyle they had before, rather than a lot of places might just, get them ready and then send them back, and they're perhaps not ready to get back into their lifestyle before. So that sounds like a great
I think what we had seen previously was that you would have folks that would get to a certain level of an outcome coming from an inpatient setting, and then weeks later or months later, you see that they've regressed.
Yeah.
And it's because what you learn in a gym is not what you're doing in real life. And
that's right.
So you really have to make that next step.
Yeah, that's great. What do you find most rewarding about what you're doing now with Integra?
Well, for me, I think it goes back to, and I tell our folks when they're hired on with us, hey, if you're here for a paycheck, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here because this is a ministry first for you, then you're here with the right heart. And a lot of that comes down to, if you think about the types of situations that people are dealing with, whether it's a child looking at their mother or father who's just had a stroke and thinking, how in the world are they going to relate to my children in the same way that I had dreamed of previously? Or it's someone looking and saying, hey, my child has suffered a traumatic brain injury, and now I'm looking and saying, what in the world is there for them based on what I had as dreams from my child? And so we actually have as our tagline, restoring health, restoring hope. And when you have those elements, people being transformed in terms of the lives that are involved, I mean, it's different than a hip fracture or a joint replacement. Those affect you, but they don't change the person
right.
as much. And so we really look at this as a mentor and provide them with hope that what they had dreamed about, there's a way to get back to that or get close to that.
Oh, that's great. Greg, if you had a piece of advice to give to an elderly person or their families or disabled person or their family, what would you tell them?
Well, I think number one would be, as people get older, obviously, sometimes there become some difficulties in terms of the interactions that take place with children and just some of the difficulty, I guess, in terms of the interaction, both interpersonally, but then how do you get things accomplished? I think it's important for the children that are dealing with elderly parents to recognize that, wait a minute, this is something, one, in the future I will be in that type of a situation. And two, this is something where you get the opportunity to be able to reach out to someone and kind of set yourself aside for a time and say, wait a minute, my focus is on making this person's life as strong and meaningful as possible here in these later years. And then I think in the whole process of what are you thinking about in terms of treatment is just to recognize whether it's at a skilled nursing level of care, or inpatient rehab level of care, or, again, now a new model with the neuro rehab and recovery model. Not all of these facilities are equal.
Right.
And it's important just to dig down and look and see how are they made, what are they focusing on, rather than just kind of live in the old paradigm of I want to go to a place that's convenient, that's 5 minutes from where I live. Mm-hmm. That might not be the best thing long term for that individual and their quality of life.
Well, that's great. Greg, for our listeners who want to get in touch with you or learn more about Integra Hospital, how can they do that?
Well, I think the first place to start is probably to visit our website, which is www.integrahospitalplano.com. And that's all one word, Integra being Integra, and then hospitalplano.com. Have a lot of great information there, including contact information for us. Probably the next place to go would be to call 972-428-1740, and those individuals will get you connected to the right departments within our hospital.
All right, well, that's great. Greg, I really appreciate taking the time to come visit with us today. And with that, I'm going to throw back to Sam and Brad in Atlanta.
We appreciate, thank you, Kevin. We certainly appreciate, Greg, your input. And before we let you go, I think Brad had one question that he was trying to ask and couldn't get it in. So I'm going to turn it to Brad and allow him to ask that question.
You bet.
Actually, two questions. One, you talked about the various types of therapy, and I think most people, most of our listeners are familiar with occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about cognitive therapy and what's involved in that.
It's interesting. Cognitive therapy is across many different facets, but a lot of it comes down to you're trying to retrain the brain almost like you would if someone had developed muscle memory in the past and they had learned how to throw a baseball a certain way. If you think about it, you have to think about how do I actually get my arm raised and think about how you throw. Well, with a lot of aspects of life, whether it's how quickly you react to different stimuli that come your way, or how you think about approaching problems and solving them, a lot of those are things that you've developed over time, and it comes innately. And when you've suffered a brain injury or a stroke, those things don't come that way. So you actually need to actually help an individual relearn that muscle memory in a way. And so there's a lot of different processes that you can go through, but it could be as simple as card games that you play with people that help them think through exactly some problem-solving skills, or it could be artwork that's being done to retrain people. Yes, it's about the creativity, and oftentimes it's how do I actually think about color combinations and all different kinds of things that are different aspects of the brain and how it works. So it's really vast and really depends on the individual, but that's essentially what you're trying to accomplish with cognitive therapy.
Thank you. And I one other just quick question. I heard you say that you don't, you know, because you're not part of a large organization, you don't have a large marketing, sales, branding budget. How do people find out about Integra Hospital?
Well, for the most part, to be honest with you, it's me going out and talking. We only have a sales force of 2 people. And so largely what I've tried to do is get around to hospital administrators at acute care hospitals and share with them about what we are. We've also worked with some associations and with, again, the military as well to try to get information out there. But we try to direct people to our website as much as possible, because once they've had a chance to see our vision on that website, and then oftentimes that's followed by someone coming and visiting the facility, it's very rare that someone, especially with a neurological disorder, doesn't end up coming once they've taken those 2 mm-hmm. pathways.
Excellent. That's great information. Greg, thanks again for being with us this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
I'm going to turn our attention back to Atlanta here for a few moments, and we've got 2 guests here this morning, and they both represent Cornerstone Financial Partners. They're both partners with Cornerstone Financial Partners, and we have John Winters and Tim Thornberry, and we're going to start with John. John is also the president of Gwinnett Council for Seniors, so I think his comments are going to be focused in 2 different areas this morning. But John, if you could just start by introducing yourself, you know, help us get to know you a little bit, and kind of same as with Greg, how did you come to be here? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you grow up? All that good stuff.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Brad. I really appreciate the chance to be here and be on your show. I was born in South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up there and went to school at LaSalle University, achieved my bachelor's degree there, and also went on and achieved an MBA with a concentration in finance. I married my sweetheart, Joan, and we raised 2 daughters, Kim and Michelle. Michelle still lives with us. She's a children with special needs. My daughter, Kim, is married to wonderful young man, Chuck Clark, and they both now reside in Gulf Breeze, Florida, with my 2 grandchildren, who I get to see a little bit more frequently than when they used to live in Houston. So I'm very, very pleased with that. I had a career after school with AT&T. It was my first major career, lasted many years, and enjoyed it immensely. Worked in their locations in Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York, and New Jersey. My concentration with AT&T was primarily in the finance area, mergers and acquisitions. I was able to travel with them. I set up six limited liability companies in six different countries in Europe. I worked in Saudi Arabia and in South Korea. After that career, I gravitated towards something that always fascinated me and I loved very much, which was financial services, helping people with their retirement and investments. Went to work for Morgan Stanley here in Atlanta, Georgia, and was there for probably about 5 years, left there, and I wanted to form my own business out in Gwinnett County where I lived, and set up an office a few years ago as Cornerstone Financial Partners, LLC, with my my partner, Tim Thornberry, and just very happy to work with him, and we're doing quite well in our business.
This is a good point to segue over to Tim, so let's do that. Tim Thornberry, as John mentioned, is a partner with Cornerstone Financial Partners. So, Tim, I'm going to throw the ball to you. I'm going to ask that you do the same as John. Give us a little bit of your background. And I know there's a military history, which is going to segue real well to what Greg was speaking about. So just take it and run with it.
Well, the good news is for our audience, they can't tell the obvious distinction, which is that my history will be quite a bit shorter than John's. And I just love the opportunity to point that out. So I was actually born in Hawaii, which is the first part of the military story, which is my dad is a Navy veteran. And so I lived quite a bit of places, but ended up in Georgia going to high school in South Georgia. And then I attended North Georgia College, which is a senior military college, kind of like Texas A&M out there in Texas. And I attended there and graduated, of course, and met my wife, Crystal Thornberry, who's a lovely, successful young lady. She is a human resources manager for a banking consulting firm, Cito & Associates, up in Johns Creek, just outside of Gwinnett County. And as far as my military background, I did join the Marine Corps directly out of high school as a reservist, doing both college and service at the same time. I was deployed two times, once in 2003, and the second time in 2006. I served with the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, which took over northern Iraq during the initial invasion in Mosul. And then my second tour was more traditional by our standards, I should say, and I served in the Anbar province outside Fallujah. I was a platoon sergeant. Really enjoyed sort of leading younger Marines and learning from them and sort of that interaction. And I do continue to stay very involved with veteran service organizations. I'm the service officer with the American Legion up in Duluth, which is a large post, roughly 1,000 members, and been in that position for about 4 years. I enjoy serving veterans who went before me. I don't quite enjoy all the hero talk and everything personally, so my sort of outlet or therapy, I'm not a very therapeutic kind of guy, is just to kind of serve veterans that went before me. I also serve as the president of Sentinels of Freedom Gwinnett, which actually works hand-in-hand with the Wounded Warrior program that Greg was mentioning earlier. I have a lot of relationships with them. It's a program to bring home a disabled vet. Sentinels of Freedom Gwinnett is a program to bring home a disabled vet to Gwinnett County. We support your life scholarship. More importantly, a mentorship. We take care of their vehicle, their home, that sort of thing. I'm very involved with them as well.
That's great information, great background. Now, I know that both of you have two different subjects and companies to speak of. One is Cornerstone Financial Partnership, which we just mentioned, and the other is the Gwinnett Council for Seniors. And then in conjunction with that, Tim, you want to speak in regards to some services that you provide for veterans. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's go over to John. John, why don't you tell us about Gwinnett Council for Seniors, and then we'll throw it to you, Tim, and allow you to speak of Cornerstone. So go take it away, John.
Okay, thank you so much. I guess about 10 years ago, I went through a program in Gwinnett County. It was a senior leadership program sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, and it was a wonderful program. I learned an awful lot about the county and how it ran, and it got me very involved or excited about doing some community service work, and I think I really took it to heart. Probably about a year or two later, I was actually given the Community Service Award in Gwinnett County by the Gwinnett Council for Seniors and BB&T Bank. They, at that time, had asked me if I would like to serve on the board of the Gwinnett Council for Seniors, which I accepted, and about 2 years later, I became president of that organization, probably from 2004 to 2006.
So they gave you a ward and then drafted you to become president, right?
Exactly
that's
right.
That's the way it goes.
Method in their madness. I've actually been asked to come back again as president in 2009, and I'm serving the second year of my term now. It's a wonderful organization. I think I've made a contribution to the community. The Gwinnett Council for Seniors is basically an organization formed maybe 30 or so years ago by the county commissioners as an advocacy group for seniors, senior issues and concerns in Gwinnett County. The county was nice enough to provide us with an information center building right in downtown Lawrenceville, Georgia, on the old courthouse square. We use that as an information center, and I have volunteers there from Monday to Friday who answer questions from seniors and direct them to any services that they may need. Additionally, I publish a newsletter. We have just instituted recently a website. I had our technical college help me put a website together, and the senior population, as it's growing so much, definitely in Gwinnett County and I'm sure around the world, is something, as it grows, we need better means of keeping in touch. Newsletter wasn't just adequate, so the website is working out quite well. Additionally, I hold monthly meetings at our Bethesda Senior Center, where I have incorporated something I call a lunch and learn session, where I bring in speakers from throughout the community that can help advise seniors in some of their issues and concerns. For example, with regard to maybe estate planning, I'll bring in the probate court judge. I'll bring in the head of the, I've recently had Phil Wolf, the head of the Gwinnett Medical Center, come in and talk about the new open heart surgery unit, the Obama health care plan, things like that, things that are really pertinent and very concerns to the senior community. The other thing is we represent probably now a little over 30 different senior organizations in the county, and in addition, we try to receive support from local businesses that serve the senior community as either patrons or sponsors, and we help them and we recommend them to the senior community after we vet those businesses. Additionally, we hold what we call a lifestyle showcase every April of each year, where we bring together the various clubs, senior clubs, and church groups to show their wares and maybe help attract new members to their groups, and also to interface with local businesses that might want to bring in their wares and show them to seniors, and we can help bring the communities together in that respect.
That's good. Let me ask this question, and for clarity for our listeners, confirm what I'm about to say or refute it, one or the other, whether I'm right or wrong. Basically, you are an informational service for the county, and every county or virtually every county within the state has an organization or should have an organization that is similar to what Gwinnett Council for Seniors does. Is that true?
You know, I'm not really sure. I know what we have. I have seen some deterioration in some other areas. Where there used to be a lot of senior groups and bringing people together and informing seniors, but a lot of that has fallen off over time. I think people become so busy and caught up in their own lives that it's difficult. So I just don't know what some of the other counties are doing.
If I could, and you might not know the answer, I'm probably putting you on the spot. If I were in some remote area and I needed some help, is there a state organization or that I could associate with or access to get directed in the right direction? Do you have any ideas as far as that goes?
What I've done is trying to reach out to other counties and things. I've become involved with some other health and human services organizations. Interestingly, I've attended a lot of nonprofit meetings, monthly meetings, actually at Deloitte, downtown Atlanta, where they're bringing in various nonprofit groups that come together to work, to answer questions, to learn, to become more adept at maybe communicating and raising funds. So there's various different ways of achieving that.
I think for our listeners, I'd like to kind of just plant the seed that if they have questions somewhere, I would think, and I believe this to be true, within their county government, there is an individual who can assist them. They have to start asking questions. So I would say call the county agency, ask a question, and allow them to lead you in the right direction.
Well, I deal very closely with the Gwinnett County Health and Human Services Group. Matter of fact, in dealing with them, in my first tour of duty as president of the Gwinnett Council for Seniors, after I left that presidency, they actually had come to me and said, would I mind being on the board of Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services? In effect, so I just continued this relationship with them, whereby, and Brad Culp, too, is also involved with me on the board of that organization. And what we attempt to do is to raise funds and work with the county to help support programs such as Meals on Wheels, or help other disadvantaged seniors in the county maybe do repairs to their homes, and we help fund those kind of projects.
We've gotten to where I was trying to go. Brad, now tell us about Friends. Make the connection between Friends here and the council, the Gwinnett Council for Seniors, and just tell us, our listeners, a little bit about that.
Well, I think John can do a better job of making the connection,
okay.
but certainly, you know, Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services, you know, our whole mission is to, as John already mentioned, to help raise funds for Gwinnett County seniors in areas like Meals on Wheels, emergency home repairs, some transportation, a variety of things like that, and had a terrific year this year, raising more than we've ever made, thanks in large part to John's effort to introduce a new fundraiser, the golf tournament that we held at Sugarloaf earlier this year.
John, I apologize. I was one of the grunts on the ground for that function. I didn't know you were involved. It was a very successful fundraiser.
It was a great event. We were fortunate enough, my team, to come in third place in that event. Unfortunately, I have to live down that my partner, Tim Thornberry's team, came in second place. So
I saw Tim write that down on the paper as you were about to go there. It's good, Tim.
And I'm not sure how he forgets, because I make him leave both plaques in the conference room, so he has to explain as clients come into the office.
Before we go back to Tim, and I'm not sure you have a handle on this, John, but what is the most common request that you hear that your volunteers hear at the Gwinnett Council for Seniors?
Generally looking for direction to different county agencies where they can get some support for their help. Transportation, of course, is a huge problem in Gwinnett County, and I'm sure in other areas. It's a county of over 800,000 people. It's pretty spread out, and getting around places is very, very difficult, you know, for seniors. Most seniors want to stay in their homes, and it becomes difficult if they achieve a point in their life where they're unable to operate a vehicle. There's just no way to get around. That's
right.
A huge issue.
Yeah, and we certainly have some public transportation, but they're typically, if they can't drive, they're probably not in a position to walk more than even a block.
Right. It becomes a big problem. The other thing, too, is a lot of times it seems the seniors are taken over by a lot of different companies and types of businesses, and we often get calls. And I get calls personally, because I'm in the financial services industry, about products, about equity indexed annuities, reverse mortgages, things like that. That people are just unsure and just uneducated in those things. And it's we try, that's why we hold our lunch and learn sessions, just to try to bring people to understand what's going on. It's just a difficult time in their lives.
Do you hear much in terms of people that have been taken advantage of? You talked about,
yes,
the index annuities and reverse mortgages, mm-hmm, and certainly with the complexity of the financial market, there's got to be a lot of opportunity for abuse.
It is, and as I said, we receive calls and try to do the best we can to try to educate people, and it goes for all different aspects of the population. Back when I was working with Morgan Stanley, I was actually the preferred service provider to the Gwinnett County School System for their retirement plan. And amazingly, Gwinnett County school system is probably, it is the number one school system, urban school system in the country today. Yet when I went into schools, teachers are just not educated about the financial aspects, about retirement plannings and things. And I used to hold investing 101 classes at the end of the day for teachers just to try to help them, not make them experts in the area, but just to understand and how to answer the ask the right questions, let's say.
Right. Well, I think that speaks well to the point that if teachers, professional educators are lacking in this area, then what are those that are in at the facing retirement? What have they done? And it probably the answer is not.
Well, it's hard. I took a group of seniors this past February down to the state capitol to introduce them to their representatives. And at the time, one of our state senators, Renee Unnerman, voiced a comment about some of her constituents, and they were being taken advantage of, right, in her estimation. So I've spoken to her about that, and I'd like to see that carried on, to try to address those problems, to not see these seniors being taken advantage of.
Well, let's shift over to Tim. And Tim, if you can just start by telling us a little bit about Cornerstone Financial Partners, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Sure. Cornerstone Financial Partners is John and I as partners, and the associates, roughly six associates that we six associates that we work with. And the core of what we are is a conservative asset management and wealth protection firm. We help clients make prudent decisions about their financial situation for both businesses and individuals. And that philosophy is what allows us to intersect as much as we do in the nonprofit arena. Given the recent financial markets, recent being the last few years, and our philosophy being conservative, we've actually personally, or should I say as a firm, had quite a bit of success, which has allowed John and I to spend time in the nonprofit arena. Our success hasn't been without a lot of difficulty sitting down with clients and both seniors and businesses, working through a lot of struggles. These markets aren't easy. The changing dynamics, the difficulty for seniors with retirement funds when they're coming over from other institutions or places where maybe things weren't done, steps weren't taken that was appropriate for them. So in working through that, it's been a lot of work, but it's been productive, and it's sort of been a philosophy that we've always known is right, and then this market has just kind of laid it to bear, I guess would be the way. So what that's allowed us to do is spend time in areas that we're passionate about, helping those that that need help to help themselves. So that includes, of course, seniors and the families that are helping seniors. It includes veterans who are seniors trying to access benefits. I do a lot with that as the service officer for the American Legion on the nonprofit side. There's some professional advice that we give when trying to access those benefits, and also adults with developmental disabilities. Like John, I participate in sort of clearinghouse of information, in my case on the side with the Enterline Foundation, which serves as an advocate and supporting facilities for adults with developmental disabilities, and they provide support for facilities across the country and provide information as a clearinghouse. And what we find with those areas and the way that it intersects back with the business is there's a central theme for accessing the right information. And we were sort of getting to it about who to call and how to get information. And I would swing back to that just with a quick segue and say that Gwinnett is a large county with a lot of people moving into it. We had a conversation before we got on the air about where we're from, and here in North Atlanta, it's typically not from where you're currently located. It's from somewhere else. And yesterday I was on the phone helping a family access veterans benefits, and mom is in Rhode Island and the kids are in Connecticut, except for one child is down here in Atlanta. Mom's going to end up in Atlanta. So I would say that if you can't find information through your county, going to John's website for the Council for Seniors and giving a call there, I'm sure they'd be able to help you, because we're helping people out of state all the time. We have clients in Texas and Pennsylvania and Virginia, and so this our business model and being able to help business owners, a lot of whom are transitioning towards retirement from one generation to the other, helping so our skills and conservative retirement planning, pensions, 401ks, that sort of thing, translates to the prudent decisions that seniors need to make. And so whether it be a nonprofit conversation or a potential client or a client, we're talking about conservative decisions. It takes a lot of meetings. It takes a lot of time. You have to involve a lot of different participants, family members, finding the right attorneys, either working with the current one or mm-hmm. finding an attorney that's right for the situation, which might be multi-state, or it's definitely multi-party, and yeah. keeping the senior's interests at the forefront and making sure that we understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And it's a lot of our skills as a firm translate to that. So it's a flowing conversation, and we just sit down, try to figure out the best way to help our new friends that are sitting in front of us.
Let me continue in the same vein. And let's take an example of a senior. When you meet a senior for the first time, walk me through the process that you go through as you get to know that person. Tell me, you know, and this really gets to the heart of what you do in your business and how you do it. So walk us through that process.
Well, typically there's a reason that they're sitting down with us, but if we're just meeting a senior in a general setting, what we're going to try to find out is a classic question, which is what are the things that are keeping you up at night? And typically senior situations can be dynamic. Typically they can be. They can be dynamic, both health and financial, family members. So there is an outcry, a concern. There's a reason that I would call. Most people don't wake up in the morning and say, the thing I'd really like to do is reach out to my county government and have a nice long conversation. There's something forcing them to do that. Transportation issues, financial concerns, planning for long-term care. There is something that's driving them to that. And so a lot of times that question has come up before our meeting. Our job is to make sure that we uncover the other questions and the other concerns, and we make it as prudent a process as it can be, and we make sure that everybody's comfortable. So it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of understanding the dynamics, and because planning, be it Medicaid planning or veterans benefits planning, we do a lot with aid and attendance planning, or just the different areas, how to access from a tax-efficient perspective, different buckets of money for our clients. It's about understanding the full situation before we give advice. It's actually kind of funny. I have an interesting little saying that applies to the situation, is that we don't give radio show advice. So, which is kind of come back to roost, I guess, since I'm on the radio now.
Who invited them?
I know. But generally, what I'm saying with that is that each person's situation is unique, and it takes unique advice and mm-hmm. care. And a lot of times it really takes that correct advisor or family really pushing to find that correct advisor that you know when you listen to them and you have that conversation, that they really care about my end state, my being the senior. And so that's important, to just give general right. blanket advice about specific situations. You can get a senior into trouble, and it is unfortunate when we see that. And just this week, we encountered a situation where we were 2 days late in a financial decision that is a step or two away from being catastrophic for the senior. Just mm-hmm. can't be undone, and because somebody else didn't take the time to ask a few more questions. Yeah. And if you ask a few more questions, seniors have stories and information that need to be told. And so that's the other benefit, is we get a lot of good stories and learn a lot of things about seniors.
So you're starting with kind of issue discovery, if I could coin a term, and then you're moving into the planning phase, which what I'm hearing you say is something you spend a lot of time on, maybe more than some others, so that when you get to the implementation portion of the program, you really have a good idea where you're going.
And I think it's key to say, because we wouldn't be unique in that first statement saying that's important. I think we do execute what we're saying, but I think one of the differentiators when it comes to planning for seniors is that we include participants. So the family, the the current advisors, be they attorneys or CPAs, with the senior's permission and you know, well, with their permission, and also other advisors. So that's something that we've embraced from a nonprofit perspective. We were already helping people that they didn't necessarily become clients. And so in addition to having a few advisors as clients, because we have a unique practice with a conservative, so we have a few advisors as clients. We have friends that are advisors or were introduced. So if someone's very satisfied with their situation and things are going well, which does happen, believe it or not, although I think at cocktail parties everybody might disagree, everybody's complaining about the market. Some people have a really good relationship, and we help to facilitate that advisor who may not specialize in some of the areas that we do to understand the things that need to be done. And I think that's a big differentiator for a successful successful conclusion of the planning process, for an execution of the planning process, because seniors have built relationships over time, and so we found that by respecting those relationships and working within those and sometimes augmenting them, it's been a good situation for us.
When you take that inclusive approach, I imagine you also come across quite a bit of conflict in the family.
Yeah, I would say that that you do. You do, and it's important as an advisor to be aware of it, to be comfortable communicating with the family and respecting the seniors' concerns. But yeah, there's a lot of dynamic, and it's important to have what John refers to, and we did in the Marine Corps as well, is the intestinal fortitude, to have a frank, respectful, polite, but frank conversation about where things are at. Because like I was saying with that couple a day, we just sort of miss, it's important to make progress with financial and end of life and care decisions. You have to make steps forward. It's so challenging that sometimes seniors and families throw up their hands either in dispute or in frustration for government regulations or what they're trying to read through, and it's important. So we try to encourage them as best we can, and so yes, sometimes we end up being psychologists, yeah, or psychiatrists,
mediators.
That exactly.
Let me go over to John. John, before we began the broadcast, you told us a story about a lady who called you in concern to VA benefits, and she wanted some help. You were able to assist her through your partner Tim. And she called back and was expressing how pleased she was with what had happened. And it was for a reason that is kind of unique. I think it speaks to the foundation of Cornerstone. So tell our listeners that story, if you will.
Well, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it was I was asked for a referral because of being the president of Gwinnett Council for Seniors and knowing a lot of people in the financial services business. I was asked by actually a person at a independent mm-hmm. assisted living facility mm-hmm. who had a lot of potential clients coming in asking about how they're going to fund and pay for the service, if I would recommend someone to counsel them on maybe VA benefits,
right,
aid in attendance, that type of thing. And I did thought about it for about 5 seconds and said, best person I could recommend is Tim Thornberry.
Right.
As I know him, he works with me, and he is a service officer. He's a former Marine service officer for the American Legion, counsels veterans, and so he does that, and I'm sure he would do a great job for your people. And then she was kind of skeptical, and she said, well, I'll try him. And then she had been using somebody else, I guess other people, and she did bring Tim in, and I think in a very, very short period of time, she saw what I saw in Tim, his integrity, and he's not looking at a profit motive here. He's helping anybody where they had money or where they didn't have money. And she came back to me and she said, he's wonderful. I said, well, I wouldn't go that far, but, and I believe now she's using him exclusively, for any referrals to people because she can depend on him.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. It's who you're comfortable with and who you can depend on, who you can trust.
Well, when you told me the story, you said it the same. You told me the story, but you said it that I think was more pointed. If I recall, the lady said that he'll help anyone, whether they have money or don't have money.
Absolutely,
and
right.
And that's where I was going. And I think that's the foundation that that your organization and that you two as individuals are built upon. I think that's very important. Either one. I'll begin with Tim. Is there a organization or an event that you're closely associated with that you'd like to speak of outside of Cornerstone?
I would like to, because I think it intersects with the senior population, and I think that a number of grandparents have a dear place in their heart. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Enterline Foundation, and I think a lot of the help and assistance and guidance and clearinghouse for information applies to seniors a lot as well. And the Enterline Foundation supports the developmentally disabled community facilities across the country. And a lot of the things that they're tackling right now and working with facilities, I'm a trustee of the Enterline Foundation. I'm also on the board of an example facility would be really good. It's a great facility in Gwinnett, High Hope Service Center, and they provide day program services for adults with developmental disabilities. And right now, High Hope, in our board meetings, at least every board meeting, and in the day-to-day staff and the great job that they do, are tackling the issues of both adults with developmental disabilities that are getting older and their parents, thereby caretakers or grandparents, are providing the services that are in the evening. You know, they're taking care of their loved ones, and sometimes have been doing so for decades. And so this goes to there's a societal sort of problem that we need to tackle here, and that's that these people have loved ones who've been caring for them, and they have real financial and care needs that the senior or at least the services provided to the senior community and the services provided for adults with developmental disabilities, they overlap in a lot of ways, and it's something that I think society, business, government as a facilitator need to tackle. And the Enterline Foundation and facilities that they deal with are really working on that, as many other issues, providing scholarships to help bring people into the community that are talented and wards for volunteers and just financially supporting. But it's really about we need to come up with solutions for sustainability. And I think that seniors, especially seniors who have family members and friends that are in the community, developmentally disabled, who have left the school age population, they are a resource, and they need resources for information about the community. So I think the communities are very close in their needs, and I think they're close enough to provide solutions. We have a lot of talent. You know, we refer to seniors. I mean, these are executives and business owners and strategic thinkers and people who've been on think tanks and nonprofits, and I'd like to sort of mention the Enterline Foundation, a lot of what they do, and sort of encourage our seniors to provide their resources, knowledge, skills, to reach out to organizations like the Enterline Foundation and support and provide guidance, because I really think it's going to be something as our population grows that you know, adults with developmental disabilities have even more compounded needs than just the typical senior. So it's something we really need to kind of get around and solve.
While we're talking about that, is there a website that
Enterlinefoundation.org, and in our great technology age, I would assume if I got it wrong, you could just Google it. And as my wife would say, you could Google Enterline, so enter a room and then walk the line, so Enterline Foundation. And they are a national sort of clearinghouse of information, and do supply some pointed direction for special needs planning to attorneys and advisors like ourselves, and that overlaps for seniors as well. So those are additional resources for seniors who may not have an adult with developmental disabilities.
Great.
Let me move to John very quickly. Besides the Gwinnett Council for Seniors, is there any other organization or cause that you'd like to speak to?
Well, just a few things. With the season, the holiday season here, of course, in winter, one of the things that just came to the forefront of my mind is the AWARE program that the Friends of Gwinnett County Senior Services are involved in, which is providing heaters to seniors. And we're experiencing kind of a cold winter right now we're starting into. And if someone would like to send a contribution or heaters to help seniors stay warm for this winter season, I know money can be sent in to Friends of Gwinnett County Seniors at 75 Langley Drive in Lawrenceville to the Justice Center. Additionally, just staying with the seasonal theme, I will be out next Saturday ringing the bell for the Salvation Army through my South Gwinnett Rotary. I'm running that day, and we'll have bell ringers out there from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. At a Walmart at the Five Forks, Trickham, and Sugarloaf Parkway.
And John, what are you doing that morning beforehand?
That morning beforehand, my wife Joan and I will be Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus at Northwood Country Club and having breakfast with Santa. So we'll be doing that from 9:30 to approximately 12:30.
Gentlemen, we've got no problems with that information at all. That's what we're looking for. I appreciate that. I'd love to continue this conversation, but we certainly are long here, so let's move on. Tim, for our listening audience who might be in a situation where they have to start thinking about planning, or they should be planning, or whatever the situation may be as far as finances, what piece of advice might you give them?
I would say that focusing on communication throughout the different layers of the family, primarily with the senior, and sort of getting direction, as a CEO might give direction, as Greg might out at the hospital, but utilizing the other family members to provide support and playing different roles. And that's important, having that communication. And then taking that communication and continuing it with commitment. And that, in order to sustain that commitment, it will take, at certain points, the right advisors and communicating with them, with the senior's permission. So I would say communication and commitment is key to navigating tough situations and finding success.
That's great. Let's move to John. For our listeners, what piece of advice might you give them?
Well, it's never too early to plan, and absolutely leave nothing to chance. It's impossible to know what life is going to hold for us. As I said, I have a daughter that lives with us. She had a heart attack at 15, and we have raised her. We've dealt with a lot of the problems through the health, the educational and the health institutes. You just never know what life's going to hand you. So it's never too early to start planning, and always think anything can happen. Leave nothing to chance. And consult with professionals and take their advice. That's about all.
I think that's clear, and I think the biggest problem we have as Americans is that we consider ourselves to be very, very entrepreneurial and independent. And many times, even though we think the advice is sound advice, we don't do it simply because we want to be independent. I think that's great advice. Either of you, if our listeners would like to contact you personally, Cornerstone Financial Partners, give our listeners that information.
Well, they can reach us most easily, again, at www.yourfinancialcornerstone.com. Again, that's yourfinancialcornerstone.com. Or just like Greg mentioned, alternately, you can reach us at our phone line, 678-730-6100. That's 678-730-6100. I think John would like to also mention the website for Gwinnett Council.
Well, just the website for the Gwinnett Council for Seniors, and I'm just so proud of this because we had this put up this year. It's GwinnettCouncilForSeniors.org. It's all one word, GwinnettCouncilForSeniors.org. Thank you.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you for being our guest. Good information, and honestly, I can see where I'd like to invite you back. I have already written down two ideas for shows in the future, so we'll discuss that off the air. But thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We thank our listeners for tuning in. We certainly thank our guests in Texas and here in Atlanta for being with us. And for our listening audience, if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast, they can do so at www.ugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.